I'm Vaughan Joines, and for the next few moments, I'll be speaking on the subject of that which cannot be overthrown. One of the most noteworthy statements a non-Christian ever made came from the lips of a man by the name of Gamaliel. He was a member of the Sanhedrin Council, a Pharisee, a doctor of the law, and the Bible says he was had in reputation among all the people. This man turned the tide in a plot that was underway to kill Peter and John. Here's how it happened. Peter and John were on trial for preaching Christ and the resurrection. They had been put in prison, but a miraculous thing happened. The angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." Acts 5, verses 19 and 20. Their strange release from prison caused quite a reaction among the people. And when they were later found teaching in the temple, the record says, "Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without the violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned." These men of God were brought before the council and asked this question: "Did we not straightly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Then the Bible says, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than man.'" Acts 5 and verse 29. What courage these men had. What loyalty to the Word of God. Because of the loyalty and the courage, they were now in danger of being put to death. This would no doubt have been had, this would have been done had it not been for a speech that Gamaliel made. He said to the council, "Take heed unto yourselves what you intend to do as touching these men. Refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest happily you be found even to fight against God." What reasoning and logic this man Gamaliel had. How sensible was his analysis. What a truth he spoke. If it be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest happily you be found even to fight against God. In Acts 5, 38 and 39. Gamaliel was a fair-minded man, even to suggest that they put this thing to a test. He believed that time would tell whether the work of the council of Peter and John was of God or of man. And let me say that Gamaliel's suggestion is a noteworthy one indeed, and that Christianity is willing to rest its case upon that suggestion, and it still is today. If it be of God, think about that for a moment. Gamaliel did not say that this work or counsel was of God, but he said, "If it be of God." Not all that claims to be of God is of God. For instance, John said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." 1 John 4 and verse 1. Some things, therefore, are definitively of God, and some are not of God. Gamaliel wanted the members of the council to proceed with caution, lest they engage in a battle against God. He said, "If it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest happily you be found even to fight against God." To fight against some work or some counsel of God is to fight against God himself. Gamaliel knew that one could not do this and win. Many battles are lost because they're against God. When we fight those who are on God's side, we're fighting against God. This is why Goliath, the giant, lost his battle with David. Goliath was not merely fighting David, but he was fighting God, for David was on God's side. This is why Pharaoh lost his battle against the children of Israel. He was not merely fighting Israel, but he was fighting God, for Israel at that time was on God's side. Man fights a losing battle when he fights some counsel or work that is of God. And another statement that he made is that you cannot overthrow it. Let us note carefully this word overthrow that Gamaliel had used in his statement. He said, if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. He went further to say that if one attempts to overthrow some work or counsel of God, he is found to be fighting against God. How does one try to overthrow some work or counsel of God? This is a very significant word, and it is packed with meaning. We need to see what is suggested by this word. The English word overthrow had at least 8 different meanings, and in the Greek, there are at least as many or more. And it might be well for us to examine each of these 8 meanings, unless we unknowingly try to overthrow some work of God. And the reason why I suggest that we do this is because it is of the utmost importance. Now, one meaning is to thrust it away, throw it away, push it away from it. If it be of God, you cannot overthrow it or thrust it away. If an attempt to overthrow that which is of God brings one into battle against God, then one is found to be fighting against God. And when he tries to thrust away from him something that is of God, that might be bring the case some are fighting against God without even realizing they're doing it. For instance, individual responsibility has come from God. Some have not been willing to shoulder this responsibility and have made every attempt to throw it away from them, to get rid of it, let somebody else do it. This cannot be done. The Bible says, for every man shall bear his own burden, Galatians 6 and verse 5. There is upon each person a responsibility that cannot be shifted onto the shoulders of someone else. Each person is responsible to God, and someday we must all give an answer on account to God. This burden no one else can bear for us. You and I can be of help to one another, but I cannot be slave for you, I cannot obey for you, and you can't be slave for me. Each person must bear his own burden in this respect. You cannot answer at the judgment for me, nor can I for you. No one can obey the gospel for you. No one can live a Christian life for you. No one can worship for you. There is a tremendous responsibility that you cannot thrust away from you. It is God-given. And the second definition of this word is to break it down. Now, some have been found to be fighting against God in that they have tried to break down that which came from God. Satan is back of all of this. When Christ was on earth, Satan led him through a series of temptations trying to break down that which Christ represented. In so doing, he was fighting against God. Satan was unable to do so, for you cannot overthrow that which is of God. And Satan never gives up in his attempt to break down that which is of the Lord. He often works through men to accomplish his end. Think of the insults the enemies of Jesus hurled at him while he was on the cross. Satan was working through these men. Think of how many today deny the virgin birth of Christ or the place where he was born. A question mark over the deity of our Lord is what we see. Or doubt the power of his blood. And Satan is still working through men. trying to break down that which is of God. If it be of God, you cannot break it down. Men's denial or doubt will not change the picture one whit. And the third meaning of this word is to stretch it out. If it be of God, you cannot overthrow it or stretch it out. Those who try to do so are fighting against God. In this respect, many today are fighting against God, for they're trying to stretch out something God has said. God's word is not an elastic sort. It's not something that can be stretched to include everything man wants it to include. And the Lord said, "Whoso goeth onward abideth not in the doctrine of Christ as not God. But he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son." 2 John verse 9. The doctrine of our Lord cannot be stretched out to include any belief and every belief of man. It means just so much, but no more. In the Old Testament, we have the incident of two men, sons of a high priest, who offered unto God a strange fire, that is, one that God hadn't commanded. In essence, they were trying to stretch out some arrangement of God. But a fire came down from heaven and devoured them. Leviticus 10, verses 1 and 2. If it be of God, you cannot stretch it out. Another incident is found in 1 Samuel 15. The Israelites were at war with the Amalekites, and Saul, the king of Israel, was told by the Lord to utterly destroy the Amalekites, spare none of the lives, and bring back none of the spoils. Now Saul disobeyed God, for he spared the life of King Agag and brought back the best of the flocks and the best of the herds. When he was called upon to answer for his disobedience, here's how he tried to stretch out God's commandment. He said that the people had brought back these animals for sacrifice, and Saul thought surely this would be acceptable. But he was mistaken. He was severely rebuked by the Lord and lost his kingdom as a result of it. If it be of God, you cannot stretch it out. The Bible speaks of one church, but people, through all kinds of reasoning and arguments, have tried to stretch out what the Lord has said. Now some say, yes, there is one church, but it is the invisible church, and all of the other religious groups make up the invisible church. Others have made the argument that the one true church is divine, and all of the various religious groups are but branches from that vine. This argument won't work, for in John 15, the Lord tells us that he is the vine, and the members of the Lord's family are branches. He said, if a man abide not in the vine, he is cast forth as a branch. He didn't say if a group, this group or that group, abide not in the vine. He said if a man, an individual. Many people are not ready to accept the Lord's arrangement and are doing everything possible to try to make their arrangement include all of the many beliefs and various doctrines taught by men. This cannot be done. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Amos 3, verse 3. How can we walk together with the Lord unless we are perfectly agreed with the Lord? Why not take the Bible, just for what it says, and not try to stretch it out to include what we want? When we try to stretch it out, we're actually fighting against God. And the fourth meaning of this word is shake it off. To shake it off. God has given to every man a conscience. This conscience can be seared as with a hot iron. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 2. It can become defiled. Titus 1 and verse 15. It can become evil. Hebrews 10 and verse 22. But while it can be seared, defiled, and made evil, it cannot be shaken off. This conscience is God given. Conscience is a safeguard only when conscience is safely guided. Man's conscience rests upon his faith, and his faith rests upon the testimony which he has made. And we must be sure that we are building our faith upon the testimony of God's Word. That's the only place that we can build it where it will stand. And we let our conscience be guided accordingly. Oftentimes we know what the Lord has said, but we're not living up to it, are we? And our conscience smites us for it. We don't want to be made unaccountable, and we would like to shake off our conscience or deny that it exists, but this cannot be done. We will be held responsible for doing what we know to be right, and we will be held responsible for studying that we may know what is right. So either way, we're still responsible. A fifth meaning of this word is to cause it to fall. There are those who would like to see man's faith in the Bible fall, and many, many have tried and are still trying. There are those who have tried every way imaginable to prove that the Bible is not the Word of God. The Bible is the anvil upon which many hammers have been worn out, but it still stands as the mighty Word of God. We are told, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. Matthew 24:35. God himself declared that his word could not be destroyed. 1 Peter 1:23-25. That being the case, man cannot cause the word to fall. It will judge us in the last day, we are told in John 12:48. To try to overthrow it or to cause it to fall is to be fighting against God, and this cannot be done successfully. A sixth meaning of the word is to pervert it. How many times has an effort been made to pervert some statement of the Lord? Paul said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that calls you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Galatians 1:6-8. One of the most bitter rebukes found in the Bible was hurled against a man who tried to pervert the right ways of the Lord in Acts 13:8-10. It is a serious thing indeed to try to change, alter, leave out, add something to that which has been spoken by the Lord. We cannot change it in any sense and make it stand, for it will meet us at the judgment exactly as it's been given by God. When men attempt to pervert it, they are fighting against God. And the seventh meaning of this word is to turn it upside down. How often has man tried to turn upside down something God has said? Let us give you an example in Mark 16:16. The Lord said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You see, this is a coordinating conjunction, and believe and baptism are equal in this. Man has tried to turn it upside down, and here it is. Here's the way that he now has it reading. He that believeth and is saved can be baptized if he wants to. You know it doesn't read that way, but many of us teach it that way. We had better turn it back as God has it, for that's the way we will meet it in judgment. And the eighth meaning of the word is this, to dissolve it. No synod, no council of men, no act of Congress, nothing can dissolve any arrangement God has made or anything God has said. We cannot, with a shrug of the shoulder, a wink of the eye, or a wave of the hand, cause something that came from God to cease to be. Our denial or doubt will not change the picture in any sense. Consider these eight meanings that we've taken a look at, and if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. That's what the word we've been studying. And this simply means you cannot thrust it back, break it down, stretch it out, shake it off, cause it to fall, pervert it, turn it upside down, or dissolve it. The Bible is of God. The church is God's arrangement. individual responsibility is God-given. It was God who gave us a conscience. And all along we could go mentioning the things that have come from God that we cannot in any sense, we don't have the privilege in any sense to be fighting against God. It was God who asked you to believe with all your heart that He is and that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It was God who asked that you repent of your sins. It was He who asked that you confess the name of Christ before men. God is the one who asked that you be baptized into Christ by immersion for the remission of sins. It is by God's arrangement that the saved are added to the Lord's church. It is God's request that man worship in spirit and in truth. The Bible is filled with information as to how we can please Him in our daily lives. Beloved, if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest happily you be found even to fight against God. On this statement, Christianity will rest its case, and on you and on me must our lives be built. May we fight for God and never be found to fight against Him. I'm Vernon Joins, and thank you for listening today.